This is the Podcast Replay. This Podcast Replay is brought to you by the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah. It's the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack?
Welcome back. C. Dallas says, top three, Clay, not top six. This is our chance to seriously contend and get home court. Talking about the seeding and where the Heat might finish in the playoff race. I get it. I think where I'm coming from with this thing is I would not push so hard for the top three that you sacrifice the ability to be fully healthy, rested, and ready to rock. So I care less about where you finish as long as it's in the top six than I do about making sure that your guys are fully rested and ready to go. So please feel free to drop all your comments, your questions. We'll try to get to them as the last segment rolls on. Ira,
Clay, did you log off and back on? Because now I'm on the other side of the box.
Oh yeah, I did. Because okay. Remember like the first three or four times we did
this.
Yeah,
but you've been good since then, yeah.
Well, but I always log off during the second break because I don't know why it always kicks me off. It's, I don't know, my internet.
Well here's what you missed. First of all, if you need any racks or pallets or anything like that, Pallet Rack City is the place to go. And also I suggest a visit to Acura Pembroke Pines and now you're caught up.
There you go.
Break, you're back at it.
Good. I'm glad I didn't miss too much.
And send Big O money or something like that. I think that was the other one.
Well, we already do that anyway. So, Ira, is there anything you've seen around the league so far that's surprised you in any way, either good or bad, and how it pertains to the Heat coming up, either schedule-wise or as the season goes on?
I think the Eastern Conference is what you and I spoke about, this much stronger than it's been in recent years, competitive as far as depth of talent with the Western Conference. I still hold true. I know Cleveland has had some nice games so far this season, but I think besides Cleveland, Detroit, and Orlando, everyone's in the mix. Chicago looks good. Now, it's early in this. I've seen plenty of these teams. They look good early, and they disappear late. But Chicago is feisty. Charlotte is really feisty.
Yes.
I like their mix, what they have there. And Rozier's been injured. He's missed some time. So, yeah, I think we're going to go at least 10, 11, 12 deep. I'm not as sure about Washington. I think Bradley Beal can only carry you for so long. So I'm curious to see where that falls into place there. But no off nights. So it's not even a matter, the Heat are back to an Eastern Conference schedule. They're getting to play more teams in the conference. It'll be easier. It will not. It's going to be a challenge. You have to take care of, like I said, you have to beat Orlando, Detroit, and Cleveland every chance you get because I don't know, especially on the road, if there are other games like that. Boston has been more uneven than I thought they would be. I still think the veteranship of Al Horford will help that team and Dennis Schroeder, but I do think there's chemistry issues there. The Knicks, I still think, even with what we saw last night against Philadelphia, are a little too one-dimensional as Kemba Walker can be a little more consistent to wind up helping a little bit more with Julius Randle. But the East is good. I just think when I watch all these East scores, very little surprises me when either team on either side wins. So, yeah, you better win the winnable games. You better be a little careful not to have the schedule games against some teams you used to think, this is winnable. You can't do that. You can't check boxes in the schedule. You have to be good on a lot more nights this season.
I will say that the team that has surprised me a little bit has been the Knicks, only from the sense that I felt like it was a team that wasn't quite high enough talent-wise that they got by. And maybe this changes again in the playoffs like it did last year. But I felt like there was going to be a natural regression for them. And again, so early in the season to say this. But, you know, I feel like especially when you see a guy like RJ Barrett, who seems to be – I guess embracing, not that he didn't before, but really embracing that role as kind of being a nasty defender.
Yes.
It's rare when you have a guy who's a top three pick like that, who is perfectly, unless it's a big man who like that's his calling card.
Right.
But RJ Barrett's somebody who's been touted as top two or three recruit going back to high school. Somebody who's really like, I mean, he is scary defensively when he really locks in. So maybe that's the team that surprised me a little bit. Boston, I was actually texting back and forth. My buddy Eric Yetzi, our morning anchor, is a big Celtics fan. And he said something early on that, you know, it looks like they're still trying to figure out what their identity is with Coach Udoka and getting back Jaylen Brown and stuff like that. I thought that was a big win for them in Charlotte the other night. I thought that was one that they had to have. And I feel like it's one that could kind of show us a little bit more about who they are moving forward. So speaking about moving forward this week coming up, Ira, but we've got this game in Brooklyn tonight. And I would like to see this team come out with the same sort of fire that they had in that Milwaukee game. Because that's a Brooklyn team, by the way, that unlike that Milwaukee game where, let's be honest, the Heat wanted that one more. And right.
They had
and
a statement to make, yeah.
Exactly.
For the playoffs.
This is a game that I think Brooklyn needs to start figuring out who they are, especially without Kyrie Irving. And I mentioned this at the outset. I feel like these rules have hit James Harden harder than any player, the rule changes, than any player in the NBA. For those of you that don't know, they changed the rules to where they're no longer calling fouls on the unnatural acts, where, you know, you'll see a pump fake and then a guy like jumps into the guy sure. or something. Like, they're being really strict about it. And James Harden's a guy who, man, like of all players in the NBA, he probably baited guys into those fouls more than anyone else.
Him and Trae Young is the other guy I would put in there also. Yeah, the jump into you guys. Clay, I loved what Sam Mitchell said on NBA TV the other day. He says, everyone is saying this isn't fair to James Harden is missing the point. If you are driving or playing to score a basket and happen to get fouled, you deserve the free throws. If you are playing to draw the foul, that's where they're drawing the line. No one wants to see guys try to draw fouls. No one wants to see guys stop games and get to the foul line when it's the unnatural act is playing to get fouled. Basketball is a game of playing to score. You watch enough international soccer, you know about the flopping. You know how there are players who always are playing to get fouled. Messi, right now as we talk, Messi's on the ground again. I don't know how. I don't even know if he's playing right now because that's how he plays. The NBA doesn't want that. So people in Brooklyn and James Harden are saying you're going against me. Well, basically, James Harden has been gifted free throws by playing unnatural basketball and being rewarded. So I have no issue whatsoever with the way that this is being ruled. The difference is Jimmy Butler's still getting to the foul line, and I love what Eric Spoelstra said in Indiana. Every time there's contact with Jimmy Butler, it's like a mini car wreck. It's different. He's using his physicality, but in every one of those plays, Jimmy's also trying to score.
And look, I'll admit my bias here. I could not watch Houston Rockets games when James Harden was there. It's not that I didn't – I respect the guy. He's incredibly talented, and so much of what he does are things that the other guys in the league simply can't do, even without the drawing of the fouls. And I tip my cap to him for figuring out a way to take advantage of the system and how it was constructed. But the game ain't like that anymore. And now what I think Harden has done, which is really smart, is he's kind of made himself the de facto point guard there, which they need, especially with Kyrie Irving out. And Kyrie is more of a scorer in that role anyway, so it worked well. But with Kyrie out, you are relying on James Harden to go back to being the leading scorer in many ways. Not he's not going to outscore Kevin Durant, but being that guy who was challenging for top spot in the NBA and scoring in Houston and got it. And so that's where I think Brooklyn is kind of missing their identity right now, and they're trying to figure it out. I say all that because this game is important for them. I mean, they know how good Miami is, especially defensively. And you've got somebody in P.J. Tucker who he's friends with Kevin Durant. He actually is basically like a second son to KD's mom. Right. And there's always something between the two of them when they go at it. So, you know, yes, Durant's going to take this matchup personally. But Tucker is somebody who's shown the ability just as much as anybody to slow down. So
he's out of his mind.
You're going to need Harden. Yes. If you're Brooklyn, you're going to need Harden. That's the bottom line here. So,
and again, as we've spoken about in the offseason, even with Kyrie there, the Heat have built a team that you could put P.J. Tucker on Durant. There's no Durant stopper. There's a Durant slowerer, however you want to phrase that.
Right.
You could put Jimmy Butler and James Harden. Not going to stop him, going to slow him. And you could put Kyle Lowry, if there was the matchup, on Kyrie Irving and slow him. The Heat have the defensive matchups. Last season in the playoffs, the Bucks had the defensive matchups. That's what matters. Again, the teams aren't whole, so we won't see that as much tonight. But yeah, I think it's important. I think it's important for P.J. Tucker to show people, this is why you signed a 36-year-old forward, because I still can do this, because I still can at least slow Kevin Durant to a degree. That's important. I think Bam will get in the mix on KD also, especially with the Nets not playing a true center and starting Griffin and starting LaMarcus Aldridge. They've gone away from Claxton to a degree. They're playing smaller. So I think it's going to be a bit more gritty tonight. It'll be a fascinating matchup. It'll be the kind of game you're watching the overall game, but you're sort of focusing on the individual matchups as well. And it's going to be a litmus test for several of these Heat individual defenders, whether they're up to par there. And that just starts a whirlwind of four games before we come back on next week's show.
Well, and you mentioned him earlier in the program, but a guy who's been fantastic for Brooklyn is Patty Mills, and he's going to be an enormous difference.
Another man of the year candidate, with the way he's playing right now,
Yeah, and as Spo says all the time, you know, it's not who starts, it's who finishes. Well, they're going to need somebody to try to at least get in Kyle Lowry's way.
And Patty Mills has been a Heat killer for years.
Yes,
I mean, when we sort of have our all-time pest team going back to his days in San Antonio, you know, even when he was slumping, he would hit his shots against the Heat. So, yeah, I think that's another name, another blast from the past that'll be interesting. Our good friend Bruce Brown from down here, the University of Miami, he's gotten injected back in the mix. He's proven to be one of these guys who came out of nowhere. One of these guys, well, it happens more with UM football players, but might have a better pro career than he had a collegiate career. So, yeah, it's interesting across the board. I want to then look also, like we talked about earlier, at the Friday game against the Hornets.
Yes.
And the up-and-comers in our division. Again, Gordon Hayward, whether he's hurt, whether he's not hurt, made a difference for the Celtics in that playoff series against the Heat. You're going to see the same thing going on Friday's game. Charlotte is good. Charlotte is competitive. But it's, you know, it's like you and I talk about every week about, are you competing? Are you contending? The Heat's trying to lean toward contending. Charlotte's trying to lean toward competing. I think that's a game you've got to get. Then you go into Memphis on Saturday. Ja Morant, we saw what he did again, you know, we did against the Heat last season. A lot of interesting matchups coming up.
It really is going to be a fascinating week. Julius, great hour to start the day. Not dissecting a dysfunctional football team every day. Thanks, Ira and Clay.
We try to take your minds off of that. Although, God help us if the Heat don't at least go 2-2 in these next four when we show up. And 2-2 is going to be hard. 2-2 is going to be difficult. They're an underdog today in Brooklyn. They probably will be favored against Charlotte. I'm sure they will with home court. Likely an underdog in Memphis, likely an underdog in Dallas. So the Heat's going to have to pull an upset to keep the angry fans from all of a sudden joining this show as well.
Thomas says, hope Tucker can stay healthy. His defense has been awesome so far. Yeah.
Crazy. And it's crazy.
Right. And I think this is, as we wrap it up, this is, I think, the thing that has been most encouraging about this Heat team. The guys that you signed are doing the things that you signed them to do in a best case scenario. Kyle Lowry, his shooting has been horrendous. And yet how he has elevated this team when he's on the floor, despite not shooting well, has been amazingly impactful. Like
I said this in my Ask Ira today at SunSentinel.com. You have to be at the games. You have to see everything in the
big picture. Yes.
If you watch closely on TV, you'll see some of it. But if you see him scrambling like a mad dog, trying to get the ball back in bounds, pushing players up, grabbing guys, you know, by the ear and telling them you should be there and there, telling them what to do, you need to go to FTX Arena. You need to see the way he controls all 94 feet, not just what's on your television screen. Absolutely.
And to Thomas's point, PJ Tucker, man, you see the defense and you see you talk about having to be at the game. The man literally just plants himself in the corner on offense and just says, I'm not moving. I'm going to stand there and I'm going to make sure that somebody has to account for me. And that's important for spacing. And you have to. By the way, because he will hit that shot.
And the toughness. You know, when I was watching that bench group and working through the rotation the other day, you saw how feisty PJ is. He's crazy. You saw how feisty Dwayne Dedman was. He had one of those loose ball situations.
I love Dwayne.
When they fight for the fumble and they're punching guys in the nuts and everything to get the ball, that's Dwayne Dedman. And you saw it from Markieff, who has that reputation. Clay, you'll know this because you're in the industry. It reminds me of the anchor fight in the movie Anchorman.
Oh, that's so good.
When they all
good.
Meet in the
it
park.
Really is. Yeah.
So if the Heat show up with Dedman, with Tucker, and with Markieff Morris to the Anchorman fight, they are as tough as any one of those groups, including the PBS guys, in that fight. See the movie, see the clip, you'll know what we're talking about. They're sort of the Vince Vaughn group that's going in
that's
there
right,
as well.
That's right.
But those three guys, I mean, look, when you talk about, you know, guys you just don't want to run into together, I'm staying the hell away from those three guys. They crazy.
I said this jokingly, and I'm using the word crazy because Dwayne Wade has used this word to describe Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler may be like the fifth or sixth craziest guy on this
team. Really makes you wonder about Brooklyn. Yeah. So.
All right, man. This has been fun. Thank you guys for all your comments, all your questions. And again, I can't say this enough. We've been overwhelmed by the numbers. It's been great. We appreciate it. Keep it up. Thank you so much. We will be right back next week right here on Inside the Paint. And Ira has already predicted at least a 2-2 week.
Uh-oh. Right? Lots of pressure.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Clay.